And now let's bring Toni Blackman into the discussion. She's a rap lyricist, vocalist, actress, and writer. She was also named U.S. Hip Hop Ambassador by the State Department. Toni, great to have you back on.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Yeah, so you've been listening into our conversation with Jeff, and you know, you've been around to many different parts of the world as a hip hop ambassador. How do you connect to what he's saying about the local scenes?
Well, I think everything Jeff is saying, it's right on point. And it's always, it still amazes me, though, even though I'm intellectually aware of it, to feel it emotionally and spiritually is just so absolutely powerful, because hip hop within itself, because of the rhythm and the nature of truth and honesty and the integrity behind real hip hop culture, and then you add in other people's cultural traditions into that, it can be almost an uplifting experience, like a meditation of sorts when you go to certain places.
Where have you been that you didn't expect to find a vibrant local scene, but you were like, wow, this people are really making it happen?
Well, I don't know, like, where I didn't expect. Like, I've always anticipated that I was going to find hip hop because of my relationship. Like, my entire life has been about hip hop. I think I've been overwhelmed sometimes by the magnitude of it. Let's say in the Philippines, I went to Manila, Davao, and Cebu, and it was just interesting for me that these people who had very little access to material things and items, but were so dedicated to rhyming and to b-boying and to dancing. And in Dakar, as Jeff mentioned, Dakar, it was when my first trip there was almost like going to hip-hop heaven. And most of it was in the languages I couldn't understand, but it didn't matter. In Senegal was the first time I actually cried in a cipher.
Wow.
Yeah, because it touched me that much.
Well, that group that I mentioned, Dara G, they came to L.A. and they will rhyme in French, Wolof, English, and probably a couple other languages besides. There's a certain, Jeff, what do you think about the linguistic angle? Because, you know, there's times that I've listened to Japanese hip hop and I'm like, I totally get what the MC is saying emotionally. I may not get every word. And what about the linguistic issues of listening to hip hop that's not in your language or a language that you speak?
Well, you know, I think one is hip hop just sort of allows people to be able to tell their own stories, and the language thing, you know, the fact that Kenyan rappers in Nairobi are rapping in Sheng is a really amazing type of thing. But you know, there's always a slippage that's going on. I heard a story recently where somebody was talking about being in another country and talking to somebody about 50 Cent, and this person saying, you know, I really feel this person because, you know, you can tell that they're very just politically aware and they know, you know, what the real deal is, and you can feel their honesty and their authenticity in their voice. And in some ways, you know, a lot of us here in the U.S. feel like a lot of commercial rap represents a lack of that. So you know, it goes both ways. There's a demand for honesty that we ask of hip hop, but it's interesting that we're getting a lot of simulations of it these days.
Yeah, well, I mean, Toni, you're someone who has been an artist for quite a long time, and when you go over, do people? I'm just curious, do people in their reception of you see you as something that they didn't expect from an American hip hop artist, given that they're getting a lot of really commercial top 40 hip hop probably?
Well, I think part of why I'm able to, like, I travel extensively and have a very limited, like, recording catalog thus far. But I think why I'm able to connect with audiences is because there's a level of appreciation, and there's a hunger and a desire for artistic integrity and authenticity. And one of the things that I talk to American hip hop artists about when I speak to audiences here on panels is the importance of them recognizing their power and their ability to influence, to guide, and to set trends. And I think oftentimes we here underestimate our power because we're here struggling to make it as, quote, starving artists. And we don't realize that we're not starving, that we might have, you know, a little bit of food on the table, but we actually have food to eat. And there's something that we can do with that in terms of sharing what it is we have to give. Like, I freestyled on Radio Nova with Dara G. And I've done that a couple of times, and it was just like this powerful thing that occurred. And I've rocked in stadiums in Senegal. and where the people rise to their feet so much because there is the level of gratitude that you as a, quote, American took the time out to acknowledge their existence and their contribution to hip hop. And so there's this global network and this global exchange and this exchange of energy. And it's one of the reasons why I still, no matter what the mainstream media portrays of my culture, which is hip hop, I still say that hip hop is about love.
Jeff and Tony, maybe Tony first on this. I have a friend who went to Kenya and everybody was like, what's up, my N? You know, and she was just like having this cultural moment, like, why is everybody using the N word? And it's like, oh, duh, because that's what people put out in mainstream hip hop. Do we need to take responsibility as Americans for what we put out there, Tony and then
Jeff?
I mean,
we do have to take responsibility for it, but I think aesthetically, we also have to understand certain words sound good in the mouth, and this is not a rationalization for it. Like the MF word and certain words, like I've been doing freestyle workshops for about 13 years, and I realized that the MF word and the N word, they weren't even about disrespect or trying to appear to be hard. They make excellent pause words because the amount of consonants.
It's better than
Yes, and the amount of consonants inside of the word gives you it. You can hit the beat with that particular word, and so it is. You know, Malcolm X said, you know, people use these words because they lack vocabulary and whatnot. Which I agree, and so we try to give them tools, but there are no vehicles for rap lyricists and rap artists to go and develop. You can't go to Berkeley and study it. You can't.
You
go
can
to
now. Aya De Leon is there.
Yes, you can.
So, but it's just now. Like I teach a class called The Art of MCing at a Brooklyn high school twice a week, where the kids get a grade. But this is the first year where this is actually happening and kids are getting an opportunity to learn from those of us who helped to create the culture. But I think we have to acknowledge also how it feels in the mouth it's a part of. And so we're able to easily rationalize the use of it. And then we can educate once we acknowledge what's going on first and foremost for a lot of people.
Well, Jeff, what about the larger issues of just kind of what we put out there as Americans? You know, and obviously we all have different levels of responsibility. I mean, someone who's a record executive or an artist has more control over that. But, you know, I've traveled a lot. All of us talking have traveled a lot. And you just see constantly these reminders of how pervasive American culture is and how there's unintended consequences sometimes of what gets out there.
Sure. It's cultural dumping is what it is. It's just like the way that we take waste and dump it overseas. You know, there's a lot of cultural dumping that's going on. But at the same time, you know, I think that audiences in the U.S. have been expressing, especially this past year, how upset that they are with a lot of the ways that, you know, corporations are presenting hip hop culture, not just to, you know, to us, but to the world. And I think that there's been a lot of feedback and a lot of pushback in that instance. Mm-hmm. What we don't really get, I think, is to understand how that affects people. And this is what Tony was alluding to earlier, who are not living in quote unquote first world comfort. Mm-hmm. And what that creates in terms of paths of discussion and discourse that people might pick up on. Go ahead.
We're going to have to wrap. That's because
okay.
That's a
we can talk about this for hours.
WRAP, not an RAP. I'm sorry. So we've been talking to Jeff Chang, the author of Can't Stop, Won't Stop, A History of the Hip Hop Generation, and editor of the anthology Total Chaos, The Art and Aesthetics of Hip Hop. Also has an article coming out in Foreign Policy Magazine on international hip hop. Tony Blackman, rap lyricist, vocalist, actress, and writer. She was also named Hip Hop Ambassador by the U.S. State Department. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Just want to say that Jeff joined us from the studios of UC Berkeley. For more on Jeff, Tony, and Hip Hop Gone Global, check out our website, npr.org/news and notes. كيف بدي أمشي معك مثل رفيقتي كيف بدي أنسى إنك حبيبتي شفتيني